ways that Jesus taught, perhaps some of the most memorable lessons that he taught that we still remember today were in the form of parables. That was a story regarding some everyday earthly occurrence or something that was at least common knowledge to the people, but that had a secondary meaning, a heavenly meaning. And I want to share a parable with you today. This is not one of the parables that Jesus told, but I think if he were to share with us some things about our society today, he would use something similar to this, although I don't know that he would use this particular concept. You know, Jesus talked about sowers, and he talked about bread, and he talked about fishing, and he talked about all sorts of things that were common to everybody. But today, I want to share with you the lesson, the truth is likened unto jelly beans. Now, we might not understand that right now, but I hope that by the time we're finished with this lesson, we'll see how the truth is like jelly beans. I have with me here a jar full of jelly beans, and hopefully all of you can see it to some degree. Just before we began, I asked some of the men how many jelly beans they thought were in this jar, and as you look at this jar, it's just a regular quart-sized jar, full all the way to the top with jelly beans. You might think in your own mind how many you think are in there, and we'll see how things turn out as we go. Truth exists, first of all. Just like these jelly beans exist right here, truth exists. It is a real, tangible thing. And that's one of the things that our society denies. A lot of people in society want to say, well, you worship the way you want to worship. You believe what you want to believe. I'll worship the way I want to worship. I'll believe what I want to believe, and we'll all be okay. That just doesn't fit with truth. Truth says there's only one truth, and it is true. I wanted to read an excerpt from a book written by one of our brethren, Phil Sanders. He describes this era we're living in. He calls it the postmodern era, and I think that's, you may have heard that term. You've probably seen it. Historically, that's what they're calling the last couple of decades of this 20th century. The postmodern mindset at the close of the second millennium set an individual adrift on a sea of uncertainty, not having a North Star to guide him. That North Star would be the truth. If we can look to the truth and always know what truth is, then we know where we are in relation to truth. Not having a rudder to steer him, that would be our own desire to reach the truth. We have to want to go in that direction. Nor an anchor to secure him. We don't have anything to hold on to if we don't have truth. He does not know where he has been, where he is now, or where he is going. And he will not let anyone else tell him. Can you imagine being lost and yet being unwilling to allow anyone to tell you how to get where you need to be? Wanting to be lost would be that situation. He is insulted if anyone questions his right to drift. He may affirm his own plans as right and good, but he will not allow anyone to criticize or deny them. He will not judge anything as right or wrong. He will not tolerate any intolerance. This is a commitment to absolute moral and doctrinal freedom. He has set himself adrift on a sea without the eternal foundation of God. And I don't think we could describe our world any better than this brother did in that little paragraph. We are in a world that wants to be able to choose for itself what is right and what is wrong. And not just to choose as a nation, but each individual wants to be able to choose what is right and what is wrong. It reminds me a great deal of the time of the judges, when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We live in a world like that today, where everyone wants to think that whatever they do is right. Nothing's a sin anymore. You may not like it, but that's okay. I do. And it's okay. It's just an alternative. It's just a choice. Even sins many times are compared to illnesses. It's a disease. It's a sickness that I have. But truth exists nonetheless, just like these jelly beans. You could all sit there in the audience today and deny that these jelly beans exist, but that wouldn't change the fact that they're sitting right here. People can deny the truth all they want. They can deny that there is a truth. But the truth, it still exists. Secondly, people want to call all kinds of things truth. They want to call everything right, everything good, and everything true. Well, we know that doesn't work, because before long you have contradictions. Two people saying opposite things, and they can't both be right. You might call these M&Ms. Somebody else might say they're candy bars. Somebody else might say they're marbles. It doesn't change the fact they're jelly beans. Call them what you will, you cannot change the truth. Call it what you will, you cannot change the truth. Somebody else might bring, for example, a cup full of chalk and say, "Look, those are jelly beans." Does that make them jelly beans just because somebody said they were? No, it's still chalk. Just because someone says that a lie is the truth, it doesn't make it so. There are people in our society today who are telling all sorts of lies and saying, it's the truth. But it can't be the truth if it's a lie. And it never will be. This chalk, no matter how long we let this chalk and these jelly beans sit here, that chalk will never become jelly beans, and those jelly beans will never become chalk. The truth does not change, and nothing that is false can change into truth. It may change into a different kind of falsehood. There are all kinds of falsehoods. There are flat-out lies. There are deceptions. There are leading statements. There are all kinds of different kinds of falsehood, but there is only one truth, and that truth cannot change. But then we also have to recognize the difference between truth and opinion. I might ask you many questions about these jelly beans, some of which you could answer in truth, some of which would just be opinion. I can ask you, are there green jelly beans in this jar? And you can say, yes, there are. There certainly are. We can all see that there are some green jelly beans in that jar. We can know the truth in the same way. Jesus said in the scripture that was read in John chapter 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If we can't know the truth, then the truth is of no use to us. We have to be able to know the truth. Just like we can know that there are green jelly beans, we can know any of the statements, any of the facts, any of the doctrines taught in the New Testament. We can know those things. There are some that would say, well, you don't know that there aren't any blue jelly beans in that jar. And so how can you say that there are green jelly beans in that jar? Brothers and sisters, we don't have to know everything that's true in order to know some things are true. We don't have to know everything in order to know something. We need to constantly be growing in our knowledge. Now, we could find out if there are any blue jelly beans in this jar. We could open this jar up and take the jelly beans out one at a time and look at each one to see if there are any blue jelly beans. The same thing is true of the New Testament. We can read it and we can study it, and when somebody tells us, well, you can't say that the Bible doesn't teach such, we can read it, study it, and find out either yes, it does teach it, or no, it doesn't. Either it allows it or it disallows it. We can study that and know that. On a similar train of thought, we can know and recognize the church, Christ's church, the one that He built, by the very description that is given in Scripture for it. And somebody might say, well, how do you know that the church that I go to is not the church? Like, well, I can know whether it is or whether it isn't by whether it practices, believes, and looks like the one that's in the Scriptures. That's how I can know. And so I can very clearly draw the line. Now, I may not know what church it is, but I can very easily know that it's not the church of the Bible if it doesn't fit those guidelines. And somebody said, well, how can you know that? How can you say that? Well, think about it. A woman could walk in that back door, and you could ask me, who is that woman? I could say, I don't know who it is. A stranger, perhaps, walking in the door. I don't know who she is. Well, how do you know she's not your wife? Well, I know she's not my wife because I know my wife. I don't know who that woman is, but I know she's not my wife. Well, the same thing applies to Christ's bride. I can look at a church and look at the way it teaches and the things that it teaches, the practices that it practices, the things it believes and the way it behaves, and I can say very clearly, that's not Christ's church if it's not behaving and teaching like Christ's church is supposed to teach. I may not know whose church it is. It may be some man's church. It may be the devil's church. It may be some company's church. I don't know. But it's not Christ's church unless it's acting like Christ's church, unless it looks like Christ's church. But we don't have to know everything that is true in order to know that some things are true. People will constantly throw doubt. Well, you don't know for sure about this or that or the other. You don't know what's going to happen in heaven. You don't know everything about how heaven's going to be or this. You don't know what's going to happen when we die exactly. Well, that doesn't keep me from knowing I need to be prepared for death when it comes. It doesn't keep me from knowing that I want to go to heaven and not to hell. I can know those facts without knowing every detail of the situation. Just as you may look at this and you can say there are green jelly beans there. Now you may not know exactly how many green jelly beans there are in there, but you know there are green ones in there. I know the Bible tells me the difference between right and wrong. I know the Bible tells me what things are sins. Now, I may not know how many sins are in there, but I know there are sins described in there that we have to stay away from. As we continue to grow as a society, there are new things that people invent and imagine, new and, if you can use the term, better ways to do evil. They come up with new ways to do evil things. Not all of them are specifically stated word for word in the Bible, but the principles there condemn those sins just as well. And so, I may not be able to say today about sins that are going to be in the future, because there may be new ones that we don't have now. From the time of Christ till now, men have constantly tried to come up with more and more ways to do evil, and they will continue to do so until the end of time, the way Satan works. I asked how many jelly beans there were in this jar to some of the men, and I asked five different men, I got five different answers. That might seem practically very normal. I imagine that if I asked everyone in the auditorium, I would probably get almost as many different answers as there are people here, maybe even as many answers as there are people here. But how many jelly beans you think are in this jar will not change how many jelly beans there are. I put a certain number of jelly beans in here. I know how many I put. God put the truth in His Word. He knows what He put in His Word. We can guess, we can feel, we can think, but all of those things won't change the truth that God put in His Word. You could tell me there are a million jelly beans in that jar. Wouldn't make it so. You could tell me there's only two jelly beans in that jar. Wouldn't make it so. There are a certain number of jelly beans in that jar. And it hasn't changed since I put the lid on. Now, here's the thing that people will try to do with the Word of God. They'll try to open it up. Take out a few of the jelly beans they don't like. Take out a little bit of the truth that they don't like. And then try to put the cap back on and say they're still teaching the truth of God. It doesn't work that way. You can't do that. You can change this book all you want. You can take verses out. You can take words out. You can take entire chapters or books out of here, entire writing out of this book. It won't change the fact that God's truth is still God's truth. I could pour all of those jelly beans out on the floor. They would still be jelly beans. They might not be in this jar. They might not be in my jar anymore, but they'd still be jelly beans. You can take the truth and you can tear things out of the Bible and try. Still going to be the truth, whether you pull it out of there or not. Other people might try to add something in there. Pour other things in. Just like they do with the truth. They try to add things to it. Doesn't make those things they added truth. Just because it's associated with truth, just because it's in the same book with truth, you know, they could actually reprint their Bible and add a bunch of verses in there. Wouldn't make the verses they added truth. Wouldn't make it God's Word. Just because they put it in there next to the other verses that were God's Word. Wouldn't work that way. Sometimes we have a special way of looking at the truth. And we can see things in the truth that others may not be able to see and understand. Other times other people may be able to see and understand things that we can't see and understand. When I asked about the jelly beans in this jar, one man said there are a bunch in there. Well, that's true. There are a bunch. There are a bunch of jelly beans in there. Somebody else said, well, you know, all of them are in the jar. That's true too. Somebody else said, well, the jar is full of jelly beans. It's a jar full. That's true too. But none of them changed the fact that there are a certain number of jelly beans in that jar. They tried to skate around the real question. The question was, how many? When we teach from the New Testament, we may teach on a number of topics because the New Testament certainly teaches us a number of things on a number of topics. Somebody may ask us a question about something and we have two options. We can answer the question directly from the Scriptures. We can give our opinion. Well, you know, I think, or I feel like. Or we can try to avoid the question entirely and skate around it. Well, you know, read your Bible. The Bible talks about it. Somebody asks a question, they want to show them where in the Bible does it talk about. What does it say about it? I had two who actually gave me numbers. One said 88, one said 150. Some of you might have been thinking numbers close to that. Some of you may have been thinking way, way, way from that. But they gave me what I asked for. Unfortunately, they were both wrong. Now, you didn't know they were both wrong because you haven't counted the jelly beans in this jar. I do know that they were both wrong because I have counted the jelly beans in this jar. Somebody can tell you any number of things about, well, I experienced such and such and so I know God thinks this or God wants me to do this and that or the other. But if we haven't read the Bible and haven't found out from it what God wants us to do, we haven't found out. We can guess, we can feel, and we can think, but the only source of truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." In his prayer to the Father in John chapter 17 and verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Our feelings, our thoughts, our emotional experiences, those aren't truth. Now, sometimes they coincide with the truth, but they're not truth. God's Word is truth. And if ever there's a difference in my thoughts, my emotions, my wants and desires, my experiences, and God's Word, guess which one's wrong? It's not God's Word, because it's truth. Look at a few verses. You know, it's amazing that our society tries to deny that truth exists, because it would make about as much sense to deny that truth exists as it does to deny that these jelly beans exist. It's all around us, and yet they want to deny it. They want to say that nothing is absolute, except for their belief that nothing is absolute. But if that's true, then it's a self-defeating and self-contradictory statement. Absolutely nothing is absolute. That's a contradictory statement in and of itself. Because if it's true, it defeats itself, which it can't do. But if it's not true, then there are absolutes. So obviously there must be absolutes. Either way you look at it, there's a demand for absolutes. But we find that people in the Bible, even people that didn't believe in Jesus, still believed and knew that there was truth. The Pharisees sent some people to him to try to catch him in his words. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 14, they said, "Master, we know that you are true and that you don't care about any man, but teach us the way of God in truth." Now that statement right there lets us know if there is a way to teach the Word of God in truth, then there's also a way to teach it in error. And there are many people that may have been doing that at that time and may be doing that today. But there is a way to teach it in truth and a way that is not teaching it in truth. Mark 12 and verse 32, after the scribe had asked him a question about what the great commandment was, Jesus answered him, and then he responded, he said, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth." The religious world today would like for us to say a truth. Well, we believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's okay. We believe in Buddha. We believe in Muhammad. And, well, we believe in this New Age spiritualism. And we believe in our ancestors and so on. And that's all okay. They're all truths. There can only be one truth when it regards who we worship and who is God and who is Lord. There can only be one. John, of course, bore witness to the truth, letting us know that there was a truth. Jesus was confused by the people when they tried to kill him. He said, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth." That didn't make sense to him. It didn't make sense to anybody. Why? Why would somebody that tells the truth be in trouble? But that's exactly the society we're living in today. When I stand before you and I say homosexuality is a sin that is punishable by an eternity in hell, well, I have become a hate monger, a horrible person. Even though I may say that out of the purest love and concern for those individuals, not wanting them to suffer that fate, trying to turn them from that, I'm a bigot. I'm a horrible person. I'm intolerant. And we hear these words thrown about all the time. For anyone who condemns anyone or anything in this world. Everything's okay except telling somebody that what they think or believe or do isn't okay. Of course, that falls through when the person who is making those complaints is the one that's suffering. There are many students in colleges now across our nation who aren't willing to stand up and say that what Hitler did in the Holocaust was wrong. They're unwilling to say that. Well, you know, we can't judge, they say. But just let somebody kill their brother or sister or some of their relatives and friends. One man who was talking on this subject said, if someone tells me that a particular thing isn't wrong, then the question I have for them is, what if I did it to your brother or your sister? There are people in the world that don't want to say anything's wrong. Rape's not wrong. Murder's not wrong. Stealing, it's not wrong. There are circumstances. It's not wrong. But just let it happen to them. Then it's wrong. But see, if it's wrong when it happens to you, it's just as wrong when it happens to me or anyone else. It's just as wrong. Because the truth can't change. Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? Pilate didn't fear Jesus. He should have, but he didn't. Pilate didn't believe in Jesus. He should have, but he didn't. But he knew that there was truth. And what's more, he knew that it was something that could be known because he asked the question, what is truth? Now, whether he was sincere in his desire to find out or not, we know that he realized that some things were true and some things weren't, and that the difference could be known. There are several, over 100 passages in the New Testament that refer to the truth in one way or another. There can be no doubt with us that it exists. Just as much as these jelly beans. Now the question we're going to have to ask ourselves is, who are we going to trust to tell us the truth? Jason said there are 150 jelly beans in this jar. You going to take his word for it? Alvin said there are 88 jelly beans in this jar. You going to take his word for it? Some of you may think you know how many jelly beans there are in this jar, and you might be willing to make a guess at that. If you were gambling folks, some of you might be pretty sure, and you might even be willing to bet some money on it. Well, I know how many's in there. The truth, however, is a lot more serious. Because when it comes to the truth, you're staking your soul on that. You're staking your eternal destiny, your eternal existence, and place of abode on whether you have the right truth, whether you have the truth, or whether you have somebody else's fictionalized version of the facts. So would you be willing to stake your soul on your guess as to how many jelly beans are in this jar? I know how many jelly beans are in this jar. I don't have to have that same doubt that you have. Because I counted them. I put them in here. I counted them twice just to make sure. When we study the Word of God and we know what it teaches, we can know the truth and we can base our eternal existence on that truth. Now, it may take us quite some time to get our lives lined up with that. Some longer than others, perhaps. But if we have that North Star, the truth that's guiding us so that we know which direction to go, we can get there. What if I told you there are really 350 jelly beans in that jar? Would you believe me? Some of you might say, well, yeah, I'd believe you. But then what if I asked, would you stake your life on it? Now, you might believe that I might be telling you the truth, but you wouldn't risk that much. But how many people risk their souls each and every day based on what some preacher told them was in the Bible? You probably wouldn't even wager $5 that I was telling the truth when I said there are 350 in there. I don't want to promote gambling. I'm just using this as an example of how sure somebody is of something. You wouldn't even wager $5 on that because you'd want to count them yourself, wouldn't you? Then you'd know how many are in there. Why don't we do that with the Bible? Why is it when it comes to God's Word that's going to determine where we spend eternity, we're willing to take somebody's word for it? Study it for yourself. Read it. Ask questions, and don't just take the first answer that comes, but as Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Paul praised the Bereans and said they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Why? Because they just accepted everything that Paul and Silas told them? No, not at all. He said they were more noble because when they told them these things, they searched the Scriptures to make sure it was so. There is one truth and only one truth that can save your soul. Its location is in only one place. God's Word, the Bible. But it's up to you whether you're going to ask the questions and study the Scriptures to find the answers, or whether you're just going to continue to take somebody else's word for it. The next time somebody tells you something and claims that it's the truth, remember this jar of jelly beans and ask yourself, am I willing to trust them that far on this or not? And then go find out for sure for yourself. Just for your information, there aren't 350 jelly beans in this jar. There are 288. Now, you can believe that. If you doubt it, and if you want to count them, you can. I don't think that probably in this situation it's important enough for you to waste your time doing it, but you can if you want to. I'll let you count them. But if you're here this morning, and perhaps you have not allowed the truth of God's Word to influence your life, you've continued to dwell on your own feelings and your own thoughts rather than on God's thoughts and what He has revealed to us, you may need to turn your life around and start anchoring yourself to His Word rather than your own floating, wandering experiences and emotions. If you're here and you're a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been doing what you should to line your life up with God's truth, then you too may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.